Go to page 67. Okay, last week we're on, obviously on chapter 6. And last Tuesday, we were speaking about the born-again experience of how Brother Sparks has brought us to the place. Simone, turn that down just a little bit if you don't mind. Brother Sparks has brought us back to the place of the born-again experience of how that if we're going to receive in the school of Christ, that we have to have the Spirit of God. We have to be saved, obviously. So he brought us back to the very elementary things of Christianity, that we have to be born again. So last Tuesday, we touched on that briefly about the opportunity that we have to be saved, to be born again, or the very principle of coming into the light. And when the light begins to shine in our lives, we have to acknowledge God's love toward us and our position toward God, of whether or not we've truly accepted Him as our Savior and our Lord. And He can't be the one without being the other. Amen. He can't just be the Savior of our soul without being the Lord of our lives. And so we explained briefly Tuesday about the born-again experience of how men love the darkness rather than the light. And that's when the light begins to shine. The light shines upon the darkness. It shows them the consequences of darkness. It shows them that darkness is destructive, yet they choose the darkness over the light. And by that, they condemn them themselves. It's not that God condemns them, but the fact that they choose the darkness rather than the light, they condemn themselves. Our part should be a thankfulness for the light of God, the light that dispels the darkness. When I go inside of a dark room, this is a very poor analogy, I think. People use it all the time, but when you turn the light on, it dispels the darkness. And, you know, most people, to some degree, they want to see where they're walking. And so you welcome the light being turned on in a natural setting. Well, that's a very low-key analogy, but in the spiritual, we should welcome the light that exposes the darkness in our lives. Well, we all sit here this morning and acknowledge those things in our lives that we need God to do a work in. Well, if He just chooses to push it over the corner, put a curtain over it, and leave it in darkness, we'll never be free. But He turns the light on. And as He does, we choose whether to embrace the light versus the darkness. So the born-again experience is obviously a tremendous, to say the least, privilege, but yet it is a prerequisite to getting into the school of Christ. Now, not only getting into the school of Christ, but understanding anything about the school of Christ. In order to get into the school of Christ, we have to be born again. But once you're in the school of Christ, you cannot, and we're going to talk about this today, and that's why I'm prefacing this today with this, you will not be able to understand or to apply the things of the Spirit. You will hear them with a natural mind, but for some reason, they never become a part of your life. And it's obvious because there's nothing there to perceive or to understand. And so, once again, today, when we talk about the born-again experience, we should be excited that God has made a way for us not to walk in darkness, but walk in light. There should be a thanksgiving in our hearts that God didn't choose to leave mankind in darkness. He's opened a door for us to be able to be saved, born again, to communicate, to commune with God. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, it opens the veil for us to come in and be saved. On the other side of that, we should also be very excited that in the kingdom of God, I would have no ability to understand anything about this kingdom except by the Spirit of God that comes with that born-again experience. And so we start talking about the natural man not understanding the things of the kingdom, and that's what is in here today, but the spiritual man does. It shouldn't be that we feel judged, and because if we're saved, we're not. But it should be that we should have a spirit of thanksgiving that, thank God, God has made a way for an Ephraim or Hosea to get saved, come into the kingdom of God, and things that were so far beyond us before. We could not understand the Word of God. We could not understand the things of the Spirit. But now God has made a way for us to understand the things of the kingdom of God through His Spirit. And not just understand them, but apply them to our lives. Now, if you think about that, when you were lost, I was lost, not born again. I was out being led of the flesh, et cetera, et cetera. The very things that God had for me, I knew nothing about. The kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the gifts, the blessings of the Lord in my spiritual man, I knew nothing about them. Well, somebody could have walked up to me and said, Danny, here's a tremendous opportunity for you, like a business opportunity, and here's an opportunity for you, and all you got to do is just walk in and you'll start to learn these things. And I could have just took a step and grabbed my Bible and started reading and had no knowledge of it, couldn't have understood it, could have read it, could have got it up here, but never walked in it, never appreciated it, never been involved, because it cannot be received that way. I could have went to church, sung all the songs, preached the message, heard the message, and never kind of tapped into it, because I can't. It's a gift from God. But when I got saved, the Spirit of God came and opened up the heavens that I can start receiving the things of the Lord. And as I receive those things and obey them and begin to openly let them be applied to my life, then He gives other things and we grow. The process continues. He opens my heart more and more and more into the school of Christ. And so there should be an element in our lives of thanksgiving if we're saved, because there's a desire given to us by the Spirit to want to grow and mature and advance. And we sit here knowing we can in the natural, but God's given us the gift of the Spirit that we can. So there should be a stirring in our heart to just be thankful that God has afforded us the opportunity and the privilege and the resources to do so. So let me start reading today on page 67. And so the born-again experience is where Brother Sparks has brought us back to reiterate once again the importance of being in the school of Christ. You have to be born again from above to understand this kingdom which is from above. Otherwise, we go through the motions. We go to church year after year after year after year, and there's no real changes. We're not drugging and boozing and all those things. But there's a whole world out there that don't do that. Amen. That's not saved. But we come into a social realm in our lives. We're dressed different and all that. But that's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's about an inward change that produces an outward change. It's an inward delight. It's an inward stirring. It's an inward excitement. An inward zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That will protrude over into your outward life and change your outward life. It will change your outward life. But it can't be changed from the outward in. It's got to be changed from the inward to the outward. Okay? So, with all that in mind, let's start reading on top of page 67. That first paragraph, it says, that kingdom. And that's where we're at. That kingdom is one in which certain things obtain with which I have no correspondence at all, with which naturally I have no power of communication. In other words, I can't communicate with the things of the kingdom of God. I can talk about them. I may talk about them with intelligence. I may use the word Lord and Spirit and hunger and use all the right words, but there's no communication with the kingdom of God except you be born again. And then he gives us an example. I think it's a very excellent example, one we can very much understand. And this is just how elementary this is. He said, take a walk around the garden, walk down by the potatoes and the vegetables and talk about, well, anything you like. What would the potatoes think about you? What would the cabbages say about you? Well, they neither hear nor understand what you are talking about, whatever it is. Now, I know this is elementary, but I want you to really get this in your spirits. If you walk down to the garden, the potatoes, the cabbages, obviously, first of all, notice what he says. It's important to get this. First of all, they don't hear you. They don't hear you. Now, if you'll remember over and over, we've emphasized throughout the years that he that has an ear, not just us, but the Word of God, he that has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. And so Jesus said that 7 times in Revelations chapter 2 and 3 when he was trying to bring the church back to a realization of where they were at. Each time he said, he that hath an ear. And so when you study that, what Christ was referring to as, obviously, you first of all have got to have an ear to hear. But he wasn't talking about the natural ear. He was talking about the spiritual ear. So he said, he that has a spiritual ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. So Christ, in essence, was saying, if you don't have a spiritual ear, you'll be like the cabbage and the potato. Man can preach, he can teach, you can sing the songs, but you're not hearing. Now, you're hearing natural words, but you're not hearing anything in the Spirit. And therefore, you won't grow. You may apply methods, you may apply doctrine, you may apply some do's and don'ts, but there's no real spiritual growth and progression in your life. So he used the example of the potatoes and the cabbage didn't hear a thing Ephraim said. they don't have any ears to hear, okay? So they don't hear. You can talk about anything you want to talk about, and they've not heard you. What would the cabbages say to you? They neither hear nor understand what you're talking, whatever it is. Their kind of life is not your kind of life. They are not constituted in your kingdom. There is no correspondence between them and you at all. They have not the capacity, the gift, and notice these words now, the capacity. Before I got saved, I did not have the capacity. I have not earned the capacity. The next word tells us it was a gift. They have not the capacity, the gift, the qualification for the most elementary things that you may be talking about. You may be talking about such foolish things as dress, ordinary, everyday things. They do not know. And what Brother Sparks is saying here, listen very carefully, the natural man, and I'm emphasizing this because he is, and obviously he felt, and I believe God gave him this revelation, obviously he felt at this point in time it was important for us to reiterate this and to go over it. So that's why I'm taking the time with this, because I feel that he thought it was of importance, and we're going to teach this right in along the lines that he did. Notice he said that that you may talk about foolish things such as dress, ordinary, everyday things they do not know. It is like that. Now notice what he said. He said you could talk about ordinary things. And so what he's referring to in the kingdom of God, people around you may talk about the ordinary things of Christianity, yet years have gone by and those ordinary things have still not become a vital part of your life. Something's wrong, he's saying, because the potato don't know anything about the ordinary things. He sure can't understand the complicated things. Well, it's the same way in Christianity. The ordinary man is not going to understand the simplest things or the most complex. And that's why year after year after year, if there's not an ear to hear in the Spirit, the ordinary things are talked about around you, but yet there's no application. And it's obvious to us that God wants us to be able to apply. You know, it's just like God, it's just like a man giving you a computer and you don't know anything about it, and you have no knowledge of going to take lessons. You don't know where to go. He said, here's a computer, and there's nobody in a million miles that could ever help you turn the thing on. Well, it's no good to you. It's the same with the things of the Spirit. If there's no ability to apply them, what do you need it for? And there's no understanding. And so that's what Brother Sparks is saying. That's why he's using this elementary example about cabbage and potatoes. They don't hear you. Even the most elementary things, they didn't hear it, okay? Because they don't have an ear to hear, all right? There is just as great a divide between us and the kingdom of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them. And that's a powerful scripture in the Word of God that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And we're going to talk about that this morning at length. The divide is so utter that if you and I were brought into our natural state, right into the place where the Spirit of God was speaking, unless that Spirit of God wrought a miracle in us, the whole thing would be of another world. And is it not so? You believers, you go out into this world, you talk about things of the Lord, and see men gape at you. It is all foreign to them. It is like that. Except one be born from above, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And so he's speaking here. You go out, you talk to folks that's worldly or not saved, born again. You start talking about the born-again experience, being saved. Unless they've been exposed to church very much and heard the words, and you start talking about spiritual things, they look at you like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not interested. Don't care. They don't hear. They have no ability to know. Unless you run up on one that's being convicted by the Holy Spirit under conviction, and God is dealing with their heart specifically, then they may respond in a little different way. But those that are saved, you've walked out many a time and spoke to people, and they looked at you like you were crazy, so to speak. To get into this school, something has to happen to us. And that means that we have to be constituted anew with altogether other qualifications and abilities for the things of God. That is the nature of this school. It is the school of the Spirit of God. I know that it's very elementary, but after all, is not that the thing that is being pressed on us all the time? It is being brought home to us how that we may hear words, and yet they may not mean anything to us. We need our capacity for spiritual understanding enlarged more and more. We are naturally handicapped in this whole matter, and we are, apart from the Holy Ghost, apart from Him teaching us. That's why we should be so thankful for the Holy Spirit. It's just like if you have a tutor to come into your home, we have a tutor that comes in for Andrew for math, and we're thankful that that tutor is able to take him on into levels that we could never take him. Well, the same should be true about us in the Spirit of God. We should be thankful that there's elements. I'm confounded. I don't know, but thank God for the teacher. And we should be thankful for the teacher that takes us on into the things of the Spirit. And that's what I sense the Lord press upon me for this class this morning, that we should really rise up in our hearts and be thankful for the born-again experience, obviously, and thankful for the Spirit of God that brings us into the school of Christ, that doesn't leave us as children never understanding and never being able to apply that we're hearing. But He gives us the ability to hear and to make it a vital part of our lives. I want Christianity to be a part of my life. I want it to change my life. I don't want it to be something I hear or something others are doing. I want it to become a part of my life. And there's deep things of the Spirit, deep things of God that we have not even probably even tapped into. But if we'll appreciate and respect and respond to the elementary things, then God begins more and more and more, opens up to us the things of God. There's got to be a crossroads where people get beyond, I'm saved. I'm saved. There's got to be a place where you get beyond the milk. There's got to be a place where as you grow and mature that you want to be thankful for the Spirit that brings you to the deeper, mature things of the kingdom of God. That you understand what patience is all about. Not this just merely waiting, but what is the importance of patience? What is the underlying effects of patience? That God takes us deeper and deeper and deeper unto His love. Just like justification. He takes us, we know it's Christ, but deeper and deeper we begin to see what it means for us to have been justified, stamped, not guilty. And the Holy Ghost is able to inscribe that into our hearts and our minds as He takes us deeper and deeper with the things of God. And so we should welcome the teaching. We should welcome the Spirit of God coming and opening our hearts and lives. Now, you have the paper here. I want to read this. He quoted us 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Well, matter of fact, before you take your paper, let me just read here before you can let me read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 first. Just I want to lead up to what Paul said in verse 14 where he said, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Once again, we've come to a place in the school of Christ where Brother Sparks is reiterating to us that in order to advance in the school of Christ, in order to progress, to mature, to move forth, to lay aside the foolish things, we have to have the Spirit of God. The natural man does not perceive and does not understand the things of God. They are foolishness unto them. You may not use the word foolish, but in our life it becomes foolishness. Now I want to read to you how Paul got to that scripture. I want to read to you what he said. And just listen. Matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read out of the King James. I'd really just read along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you with me? Any questions now? I don't want to go too fast. Any questions? You understand where I'm at? Very simple, but you understand where I'm at? But the natural man don't understand? Year after year passes by. How many of you realize time's passing by real fast? Real fast. Real fast. And we need to embrace, if we're ever going to, I mean, I'm not 20 anymore, amen? I've been in this thing for a while. If I'm ever going to go on and progress and mature, it's time for me in my own life to embrace some things, amen? And to really move on in the things of God. Well, He's afforded me the resource to do that. Thank God. I don't have to stand here today and go get all the right books and make sure I read them. That's good that we do that. But I can lean and depend upon the Spirit of God as I open my heart up. The resource has come from heaven to learn about heaven. I don't want to be one of those that simply goes to the house of God and go to church and just stand upon what happened to me 20 years ago. Yes, I got saved, but I want to have a progressive revelation of Christ. Because you become stale, stagnant, indifferent, no fire, no prayer life, no fire in your worship, no fire in your prayer life. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be lackadaisious and dull in my Christianity. I want to grow and mature. I want to progress. I can't do that apart from the Spirit. I could choose to come to the house of God, choose to go to church, get on the phone, do this, do that, the other, stay off of drugs, stay off of alcohol, and I guess I'd stay saved. I don't want to serve the Lord that way. I want to grow and mature. Well, He's given us something called the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not lackadaisious. The Holy Ghost is not dull. The Holy Ghost is not lukewarm. The Holy Ghost is not in for you and I coming to church and singing the same songs, reading the same Bible year after year, and nothing happening. Amen. And we get on the phone, it's a still dull conversations, it's still self, still the same world that we're centered around, just a few different words we used than we did before we got saved. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants you to grow and mature. Thank God for that. He wants you to come to the house of God, stirred, encouraged. When the worship starts, He wants you to lift your hearts, your voices, and praise God. Be excited about Jesus Christ. He wants you to grow. He wants you to hear a message, be it a Sunday afternoon class or a service Sunday night that tells you that God has you hid away. He's got you hid away. He's going to bring you out just quick enough to show you something and bring you right back in that place of safety. He wants you to be stirred about that on Monday. And you don't have to be stirred in the natural. The Holy Ghost inside of you, if you're born again, is excited about that. Amen. And if you'll feed the Spirit of God, the Word, prayer, good fellowship, good conversation, if you'll just feed Him just a little bit, He's sitting there hungry. And if you'll feed Him, He'll stay excited on the inside of you. That's the Spirit of God. That's what we should welcome and embrace in our hearts and our lives. Now, Paul rose up and said, the natural man cannot receive those things. He knows nothing about them. The natural man will come to church week after week after week after week and not grow and mature. But the Spirit man gets excited. He gets stirred up into growing in maturity. So let's look at what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I just want you to bring you into what he said. For the preaching of the cross, verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You hear him talking about wisdom and foolishness and understanding. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it is foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you. Now realize here, Paul was probably one of the most intellectual human beings to ever pick up this Bible and read it. He was one of the most intellectual men that's ever been on the face of the earth. And remember, Paul told Agrippa, he said, Agrippa confronted Paul, he said, Paul, I want you to answer to how you've been acting. And one of the first words out of the mouth of Paul, now think about this, one of the most intellectual minds that have ever been on the face of the earth, he said, Agrippa, when I begin to think, when this mind of mine begins to think, I get happy about Jesus. And I said that to encourage you that this mind, it becomes renewed and it becomes the mind of Christ. And Paul said, this mind has so been touched by the Spirit of God. And here it is, he says, I determined not to know anything among you. He said, I've reduced my intellect to knowing two things, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if I know that, the Spirit of God will build upon that foundation and teach me all things concerning the kingdom of God. So here's a man of intellect said, I've reduced my mentality to Jesus and him crucified. And if I can get that right, the Spirit of God will open up my heart. Amen. And let me read again verse 2. I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He acknowledges his own physical inabilities. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Not man's wisdom, not man's philosophy, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, Paul's talking about something spiritual happening here. Not Paul's intellect, not Paul's wisdom, not Paul's reasoning, but Paul was saying there's something being said in the Spirit that your spirit man will perceive. He was saying you may sit here not very smart, not very intellectual, not very able-bodied to do a lot of great things, but if you are saved, he was saying, there's been a great transformation that's taken place in your heart and in your mind that you can sit here and receive things from this kingdom. That's good news. That is good news that I can grow. I didn't come because of my ability into the school of Christ or my intellect. I came because I am saved. I am born again from darkness into light, from death into life. And I enter this school with the resources to hear what God is saying. Thank God for that. Thank God for the ability to hear. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Well, if men don't have any wisdom, what are they going to stand on? He says you stand on the power of God. And the power of God is the cross. The power of God is Christ crucified and raised from the dead. He's alive. And Paul acknowledges that. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, the word perfect there is mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So Paul said, if I was to speak wisdom of the world, he said, what good is it to you? It's going to come to naught anyhow. It's going to come to absolutely no good, no effect. He said, I don't speak wisdom of the world or the wisdom of men. I speak the wisdom from on high, the things that God has spoken that you may receive and understand and grow thereby. And I'm trying to get you to see this morning, understand, I'm sure you do, or appreciate the fact that in the school of Christ, we have no effort, we have no understanding, no ability apart from God. And we should be so thankful that He's given us the privilege of embracing the kingdom of God and growing thereby. Now, let me pick up with verse 7 in the Amplified. Now, notice we're getting to the place where Paul said that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are spiritual. So Paul's leading up to that statement. Verse 7, notice we've talked about the cross, Christ crucified. We've talked about the things of the world being foolishness that the natural man cannot perceive, or the natural mind. He's not speaking things of the wisdom of the world, but he's speaking things of the wisdom of God. Verse 7, but rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God that was once hidden from the human understanding and not revealed to us by God. Now, let me just relate that to us when we were not born again. When I was not saved, the things of God was hidden to me. They were hidden to me. But God has made a way to reveal them to me. God, and I know this is elementary, that's what Brother Sparks said. He said, I know this whole teaching here, this whole little place in chapter 6. He said, I know this is elementary, but we got to get this in our spirits, amen. Do we be prone to come to church week after month after year and get stale, satisfied, lukewarm, and not grow? And 2 years, 5 years passes by, and you look back, and there you sit, singing the same song, hearing the sermon, and not growing. He said, we need to understand and realize that we once were hidden to us the things of God. We, from the human understanding, they were hid to us. We couldn't perceive them. And now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of His presence. That was hidden from us. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. He's acknowledging these men didn't understand. They didn't know anything about the wisdom of God. They would not have crucified Christ. But on the contrary, as the Scripture says, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of men, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love Him, who hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him, and gratefully recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. Now that is a mouthful in verse 9. That's our position. I'm going to read to you again. Before we got saved, our human understanding could not perceive the things of God. We had no ability. We had no ability to pick up this Bible, come to the house of God, hear a message, and grow and move forward. We had no. It wouldn't even open up to us. It was closed to us. But on the contrary, now by the Spirit, this is what the Scripture says. Read again. What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man. And here's what it is. All that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready. You see what God has? You see what Paul said? He says, God has prepared, made, and keeps ready an abundance of things for every one of His children. Now, I'm speaking about spiritual things now, not material things necessarily, but spiritual things. And so what we're saying this morning, what Brother Sparks is relating to us, is that there are numerous, tremendous promises and things within the gift, within the Spirit, that have been prepared, made, and God keeps them ready. For what? For those who love Him. Now here comes our part. God's made them. They're there in the Spirit, in the school of Christ, as we grow and mature. They are ready for us. God says, I have them for you. I have these gifts. I have these promises. I have this fullness, this growth, this maturity, this understanding. I have progressive, fresh revelations already made for Tom. They're right here, Tom. I've made them. It's like the bakery, the food line, the deli. I've got them made, and they're ready for people to come in to buy today. Laid all out. Those salads look good today. Amen. You walk in, I mean, you can almost picture them on your table, and you're eating them. They're made. They're kept fresh until that person comes and buys them. Paul is saying God has had all the things of the Spirit that Tom will ever need. They've been made by God and they've been kept ready for God. Or kept ready for Paul. I mean Tom, just kept ready for him. They're ready for him. Things in the Spirit. Well, before Tom got saved, those things were there for him, but he couldn't even understand. He had no knowledge. They were even there. Couldn't even hear. Didn't understand anything about it. But now, get saved, you step into this kingdom and the light's on. And you start to see glory to God. Look at all these things that God has prepared for what? those who love Him. Here's our part. And what's that mean? Who love Him? Who hold Him in affectionate reverence. Who promptly obey Him and gratefully recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. So you notice here there's an affection is involved. There's got to be an affection. There must be affection in our lives for this Christ. There must be obedience in our lives for this Christ. And there must be recognition. Notice this, there's got to be affection, there's got to be obedience, and there's got to be recognition. And those are three words that I picked out. You can pick out a couple more, but there's got to be affection in our lives. In other words, we should be thankful. We should be affectionately reverent and thankful and excited that God has made these things for us and kept them ready, praise God. Kept them ready. Thank God He's kept them ready for us. And they're there waiting for us as we love Him and have affections toward Him, as we obey Him, as we recognize those things are there for us. God wants us to have them. He's not trying to hold them back from me. Just like my child, I don't want to purposely hold things back, but we know there's times they're not quite ready for them. And so God's got them there. He's got them ready for an Ephraim. He's got them ready for a Jose. As they move into that place, God's got them all ready for you. Thank God. Thank God. God's got it all laid out and all planned. But we cannot even come into this without the Spirit. And we can't understand it without ears of the Spirit. We're like a potato or a cabbage in the garden that can't hear a thing that's being said. All right? Yet to us, God has unveiled. In other words, to the world, those things are cut off. They can't see them. But to us, verse 10, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through His Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring, and who's doing this? The Holy Ghost is. Exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God. I love that word bottomless. In other words, you can't find the bottom. Y'all are sort of bottomless. The things He's got prepared and He's keeping are bottomless. But it's for those who love Him, who have affections toward Him, who are obeying Him, who are recognizing His kingdom and recognizing the things of the Spirit. He says, to us those things have been revealed by the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches, diligently exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. I can sit here today and there could be a million thoughts, and I'm not probably exaggerating too much because our mind is a wonderful, it is unreal that God has made the mind. I mean, we don't even perceive. I've seen the moody film on the human body, and the mind is just unreal what God has put in our heads. And I can sit here today and have 100 or 1,000 thoughts, and Jose can look at me and has no idea what I'm thinking. Okay? Not one idea. It's the same way with the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God, just as sure as I know what I'm thinking, the Spirit of God knows what's in the kingdom of God. And He lives inside of me. So He starts to search diligently the things of God that God has prepared for me, the things that God has made and kept ready for me. And as I walk in His mercy and His grace and His love, He prepares those things for us and He brings us into the understanding. All right, let me read that again. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thought except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received, now we're getting that verse, we have not received, and he's talking about the born-again person. We have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world. Boy, you can say, thank God for that. But the Holy Spirit, who is from God, and given to us, why? That we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. You see, He's got it all worked out. I couldn't understand, couldn't even hear, couldn't perceive, couldn't apply, couldn't walk in, but God's made a way. I want to read that again. He said, we don't receive the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us, why? That we might realize and comprehend all those things that God has made and kept ready for us. That we comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words. Here we go. Now get this. We are setting these truths forth. Now Paul's saying, I'm ministering this truth. I'm laying this truth out. He's teaching, preaching here. He said these truths are being brought forth not by human wisdom. Not by human wisdom, but they're taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those, who possess the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful statement there. He says they're not being taught with human wisdom. They're being taught by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit combines combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. And you won't understand spiritual language without the Spirit. You won't understand spiritual interpretation without the Spirit. You'll have a natural interpretation, but not a spiritual interpretation. And the person will always live on the surface. The rest of their church life will be a surface life. It'll never go below the surface. It'll be a surface life. Because on the surface we can talk about all those things, but the Spirit takes us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But without the Spirit, there's the songs, there's the messages, there's the sermons, there's the right words, but it's a surface thing. Fleshly, surface, just close enough to God and far enough away from the world to be deceived. Close enough to God, as one preacher said, inoculated. I forget Brother Shambach. He said, most people are inoculated from the gospel. They've got just enough of the real thing to never get it. And you know, that's just like when you go get your flu shot a lot of times, you get just enough of the real thing to keep from ever getting the flu. That's all it is. They give you a little bit of that virus to keep you from ever getting it. And he said, most people have sat in church long enough, they've heard enough of the gospel to get inoculated from ever getting the real thing. And they live their life just like this. The rest of their lives will live on the surface. They go to church, sing the songs, cry the tears, but you never see them going deeper and deeper and deeper into think something's amiss. Amen? Because that's not what the Spirit is designed to do. It's designed to combine and interpret spiritual truths with spiritual language. Amen? You go take a computer class, you're going to hear computer language. Brother Jose here is very sharp with computer language. He could spit out 5 words this morning and I'd have no idea what he was talking about. Because it'd be computer language, amen? I'd know nothing what he was speaking about. Well, there's language in the Spirit that you'll hear. You'll hear it spoken in a natural word, but there's a spiritual language in those words, and if you don't have the Spirit, you won't hear, amen? And you live the rest of your life. But thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to go deeper and deeper into the things of God. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept, welcome, or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. That's the verse Brother Sparks quoted concerning the cabbage and the potatoes. They don't know. They don't understand. And it's a bad place to be to go to church several times a week. Amen. That's just like going to school 10 years and going home and still don't know what the man is talking about. No change. That's a bad place to be. And that's what happens. The natural man does not receive, does not open up his heart. They don't come in, because when you open up your heart, God changes you. God changes you. When you open up your heart, thank God there's change that He brings about in our lives. There's growth, there's maturity, there's a zeal that's founded upon knowledge and not superficial. It's a founded zeal upon experiential knowledge of Christ. So he says here, the Spirit of God, the natural man, they're folly, they're meaningless, nonsense, incapable of knowing them, of progressive. Notice the word progression here. Notice this now. I want you to get this. The natural man is incapable of knowing them, and he explains what that means, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted. So do you see the progression here? That if there's a spiritual connotation, a spiritual understanding, a spiritual application, then there's a progressive recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted. There's a growth there. Because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. So not only do we hear and understand, but we begin to appreciate more and more. And you'll see a thanksgiving in that person's heart to grow and grow because they're appreciative of the Spirit of God teaching them these things. But the spiritual man, that's the natural man's part, verse 14. Verse 15, the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things. I'm going to just be blunt. In other words, he comes to the house of God, and he hears the word, and he goes home. He don't question the preacher necessarily, but he gets in and digs in that word. He don't just go hear sermons. The spiritual man does what? He examines, investigates, inquires, questions, discerns all things. He gets excited. He digs. Amen. He digs. The spiritual man wants to dig. He wants to grow. When you sit down and that plate is in front of you, I got news for you. You got a fork and a spoon. That fork and spoon is designed to get the stuff on that plate in your belly. And you leave that fork and that spoon by the plate, unless you eat with your fingers, it's not going to get your stomach. When you come to the house of God and the man preaches the word, he's giving you just a little bit about what God wants you. You ought to go home and dig. Not just that message, but he said the spirit man investigates, digs, paws, claws. He wants to know what God is saying. Amen. Natural man just goes home, boy, that was a good message, and never grows. Never matures. Never advances. He said, but the spirit man, God, you see, God will give you a stirring. God, the Holy Ghost, will stir you to question, discern. Yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or praise or get an insight into him. He's talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit inside of you is excited to stir and to examine and to get to know the things of God. It's exciting to see people just get the Bible out and say, Lord, let's just get the Word and see what the Bible has to say about it. Amen. Just get in. Just dig in. And find out what the Word of God says. Examine. Amen. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and the purpose of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? Boy, I was just as blind as a bat before I got saved. Amen. Had nothing. I didn't understand. And I don't claim to understand a whole lot now compared to all that there is to understand. Okay? Before I got saved, I didn't understand anything about the kingdom of God. And then when I started getting convicted about being lost, I started to understand one good thing. I was lost. Amen. I understood that. I was lost. And understood the only way to get saved was to come to Christ. I started to understand that. Been to church all my life. Heard the preacher preach. I mean some good preachers, Baptist preachers. I didn't understand anything about the kingdom. Didn't understand it one bit. Who could know or understand the counsels and the purpose of the Lord? I couldn't guide anybody. Nobody couldn't guide me because I knew nothing about the things of God. But when I started getting convicted, I knew I was lost. I knew he could save me. Until I came to that saving knowledge. Then the heavens began to open and little by little by little, and I began to understand more and more and more. All right? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. Thank God. Oh, we all were shouting that. We have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Amen. When I had my mind, when I was lost, you and I held to my thoughts, my feelings, and my purposes. My mind was dictated by my heart. My heart was dictated by my mind. And it was all about my thoughts, my feelings, and my purposes. I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, as much as I could afford to. Amen. And if I couldn't afford to, I'd try to find a way somebody else could help me afford it. Amen. All right, that's exactly what we did. My thoughts, my feelings, and my purposes. That's what my mind. But he says, now we that are saved, we have the mind of Christ. And we do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Hallelujah. So the mind of Christ is speaking to us his thoughts, his feelings, and his heart. Amen. And we should be ever thankful that our mind is being renewed day by the Spirit of God. That we don't have to walk in ignorance and foolishness and misunderstanding, but we can learn. And we come to these places where we don't know, we can stop and say, Lord, I just don't know. I don't understand this. I need you to teach me. And he has something made and kept ready for you. Thank God. Thank God for it. We don't have to try to run ahead of God and act spiritual and act intellectual. Me and Ethan can say, you know, we don't understand this, Lord. That's okay. I'll teach you. Thank God for it. Your Ephraim's son, 2 years old, there's things, obviously, and he can say, that's all right, son. It's okay that you don't understand that. We'll get to that later on. We'll get to it. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost will say. He said, don't worry about it, because he sees the heart that wants what? God's purposes, God's thoughts, and God's feelings. He don't see a heart that's running amok. He sees a heart that's been on Christ, that's been on going the right way. So the Holy Ghost don't get excited and despondent and beaten down because I don't know all things or I'm not matured in every area. He's just excited that my heart is bent that way. He said, that's okay, son. We'll get you there. We'll bring you to that place. Not quite time, not yet, but we'll bring you to it because he sees your heart and your mind is for the things of God. That's good news. They're made and kept ready for us, for those that love him, have affections, obey him, and recognize. We have affections, we obey him, and we recognize him. There's things made and kept ready for us as we go deeper and deeper into things of God. Just a little token here, a little nugget. Learn how to appreciate and be very thankful for the little things before you try to grab a hold of the deep things. Amen. I'm not talking about master the little things, but learn how to be appreciative. Very thankful for the little things before you jump off into the deep end. Amen. Because a lot of times those little things is what's going to keep you in the deep end. All right? Then you're going to find yourself floundering. So you need those little things because when you jump in the deep end, you need to have those little things founded and appreciative and thankful for them. Amen. Well, I just want to encourage your hearts today, and I took a lot of time with this, but if I can just get anything across, is this. You need to be thankful that you're born again. And you need to be thankful that apart from the Spirit of God, there is no understanding in this kingdom. No knowledge, no growth, no maturity, no going forth. You'll have the mind of the flesh, your feelings, your thoughts, your purposes, but you can have the mind of Christ where it's his affections, his thoughts, his feelings, his heart. It's what he wants. He sees that, and he's ever patient to bring you to the fullness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Be thankful that you're born again. Be thankful that in this school you've only been brought in not by man's wisdom, man's ability, man's intellect, but you've been brought in by the Spirit of God. You can't hear or understand or perceive by the natural man. It has to be by the Spirit. Be thankful for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit that comes to teach, lead, and guide. Do you see now why Christ got excited? He said, I can't stay. It's expedient that I go away, for if I go away, if I don't go away, I can't send back the Comforter, the Paracleto, the Holy Ghost, the Teacher, the one that leads, guides, and instructs, exposes me in front of you. He was glad to leave to send back the person of the Holy Ghost, amen, that we might know. Thank God for the teachings of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, amen. Praise God. Any questions? Very simple, nothing profound, but if you'll grab a hold of this and get in your spirits, and have affection and obedience and the recognition of the Spirit. Realize it's not your human flesh, your human mind, your human understanding, but it's a gift, the gift of the Spirit that enables us to grow and mature. Is that good? Did that help a little bit? All right, let's stand. Praise God.